Hey, greetings, everybody watching at home today. I miss all of you, but it's good to be here together in this format today. We've been in a series called Church Unexpected, and we've been highlighting just vital aspects of our faith that we often overlook, and we fail to understand just how much we need them. And today, we're going to talk about slowing down. Oh, how we need a church that challenges us, that encourages us to slow down and to be with Jesus. A couple weeks ago, our teaching pastor, Tom, referred to the TV show Survivor. And like Tom, I am all in on Survivor. It's one of my favorites. And each episode of Survivor contains what's called a challenge competition. And last season, one of the final challenges was this. It's a game, and it's got a name. It's called Simotion. And here's how it's played. Each person, usually with one hand tied behind their back, must drop a ball into a metal chute. The ball will travel down a spiral metal track and exit out one of two points. The person must catch the ball at the bottom and drop it back into the chute at the top. At designated intervals, an additional ball is added to the track until the maximum amount of balls are simultaneously in play. Sometimes that's five or six. If a ball exits the track and is not caught at any time, the person is eliminated from the challenge and the last person standing wins. And it's interesting to watch because as this challenge goes on and the balls are added to the metal chute, you feel the anxiety and the pressure for the people that are playing. And eventually, it just happens. A player loses focus and they're out of the game. It's intense. Now, what's true for this challenge is really true for life. The more activity that comes at us, the more balls we allow into our lives, the more we have to keep track of, the more anxiety, the more pressure, and really the more chance that we're going to lose focus as to what's most important. I believe that was evident before the pandemic, and I think it will be true after as well. Maybe in our current situation that we're in right now, maybe you've had a chance to reflect back on how you were living, your pace, your focus. You know, we asked a few LCCers to reflect on the last several months. Take a look.
I've read four or five books over this time. Wow. And it's not bragging. I'm just saying like that this my ability to just kind of say, I've got to fill this space. And it's not going to be with Netflix. It's going to be with some reflection and whatnot. But the fun side of that is like that I can still engage with like watching sports, but it was such a big part of my life. And when it got taken away, it was a little bit of a withdrawal. Like, I can't watch golf. I can't watch baseball. What about basketball? You know, it's like the seasons are never ending and it just all went away. And, I can come out on the other side and say, I think I'm okay. Anyways, that's my thing.
It's real.
Yeah.
I'd say the joy of taking a walk in the morning.
Yeah.
Like I would always walk the dog in the evenings and like right now it's blazing hot, but you know, like to walk her in the mornings and just be able to see kind of the beauty of creation just kind of come alive in the morning has been really cool for me. Something that I didn't really know I was missing out on until I've been able to do it now that I've been teleworking. So that's
cool. Well, I have two answers. I have like a really like sweet answer when you say for church people, like, yes, we get to know our neighbors better and that's great.
No, tell us the fun one.
And the other one is that working from home with your husband is really tricky trying to share the Wi-Fi. And so my sister sent me a meme that said, hey, when things get stressful in your new environment, create imaginary coworkers to blame things on. And so I sent Rob that thing, just like, ha ha ha. Well, by the time he came home, we had two imaginary coworkers with names and elaborate backstories. Yeah. And let me tell you, it is handy to blame things on these two.
Sure.
But we had to let Ed go the other day. It got a little much.
So imaginary firing is always, it's great.
But there's peace at home, so it's good.
Hey, we all cope in different ways. But what a unique time we're in. We're still in when most of the balls have been taken off the track and we've got this chance to refocus, to reset the pace, to reprioritize. turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to watch an interaction between Jesus and two women who were sisters, Mary and Martha. And they were followers of Jesus along with their brother Lazarus. In fact, Jesus later would weep in front of these sisters at the death of their brother Lazarus and would go on to heal him, to raise him from the dead. This family, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, they had a close connection to Jesus. Now, before we read and we look into this theme of slowing down in Luke 10, it's important to look at what's happening before this account. You see, Jesus has just sent out 72 of his followers, two by two, to go to villages to share the good news of the gospel. They return with powerful stories. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story of the Good Samaritan, a story about actively loving your neighbor by stopping what you're doing and caring for someone in need. It's really important to understand that this encounter we're about to read with Mary and Martha happens after a lot of activity and a lot of mission. So let's read the whole encounter together from Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 38. And this is what we read. Now, as they went on their way, and know that they were journeying toward Jerusalem, Jesus was heading toward the cross. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister Mary has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." Mary and Martha resided in Bethany, which was by Jerusalem. And Jesus made a stop at their home to spend time with them and to minister. And Mary sat down at his feet to receive. And it was not normal. You've got to know this. It's not normal in these times for a woman to sit at the feet of a rabbi like this. But Mary does it. We've got to understand how significant that is and that was. Because Jesus included women. Women were his followers, women were his disciples, and women were instrumental in his life, in his mission, and in the spread of the gospel throughout the New Testament. Jesus elevated, he included women. He went against a lot of the people of his day in that. Now, before Jesus arrived at their house, both Mary and Martha, they were preparing for the arrival, perhaps to feed the group or just to get other preparations ready. And everyone prepares differently, right? I mean, if you're married, you and your spouse probably have different standards in preparing for people to come over, right? Now, we're not told here if the preparations were excessive or if they were simple. But when Jesus arrived, the dynamic changed. Mary had been preparing, but she stopped because Jesus was there. And so she paused to sit at his feet and to receive. Things did not change for Martha. She continued preparing, but now she didn't have the help of Mary with her. And Martha, for whatever reason, did not feel the freedom to stop and to sit and to receive from Jesus. There was work to do. And we're told in verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. She had a lot she wanted to accomplish. Her focus were the tasks before her, and it kept her from being able to sit down and to receive. Can you relate to this? I know I can. I can't tell you how many times I've said, as soon as I get done with this, Jesus, as soon as I finish these tasks, then we're going to have time together. Think back to the recent changes that we've all been going through in our life, right? When it came to, think back to the time before it all happened. When it came to Jesus and receiving from him, was there time for that? Was there space? Was there time to focus? Were you distracted? How busy were you? It's important to understand a couple things from this passage. First, Mary and Martha both had a choice. They were given a free will to make a choice. Mary chose to slow down the pace, the activity, to actually stop it, to leave it behind in order to be with Jesus. She takes a risk in this. She might be shamed for it. And can she be sure that Jesus will allow her? Can she be confident in being allowed to sit at his feet? She can. Martha takes a different path. She's got a choice too. She chooses to do for God, to do the preparations. Now, we don't know if she sat down later to be with him and to receive. Maybe she did. We don't know, too, if maybe she listened in and multitasked, right? Sometimes we do that. Jesus, let me spend time with you and do this, too. Does that ever happen to you? But Mary chose Jesus. She sat at his feet. She listened. She chose the right thing. And she's really swimming upstream here. And she gives us a beautiful picture of what it means to be eager to receive Jesus and to welcome him and to give him undivided focus, nothing competing with him. We'll talk about this later, but know that Jesus modeled this for us in the way he lived his life and the way he loved people while he was here on earth. He stepped away from ministry and from activity, sometimes some really good, important things. There were people who needed to be healed. I mean, they didn't even have a doctor like we have today. They needed to be healed, and he stopped from healing to step away. There were chances to have impact for the kingdom, and he stopped those to take time to be with the Father, to be alone with him in solitude and to pray. Loving God means slowing down in order to be with him and to receive. Jesus chose that. We've got a choice to choose that too. Now, something else is presented here, something really interesting. It's the idea that Jesus can be in the house, even invited in, yet left alone, crowded out by the other things that are in the house. Remember, verse 38 tells us that Martha was the one to invite Jesus in. She was eager to receive him. She was the first. She brought him in. But that conflict inside her, the preparations had to be done. She couldn't leave them. Jesus can be in the room, even invited in, and left alone or just crowded out. He can be in the vicinity, but unknown to us. And I think that's really the challenge of really the American Christian. We eagerly invite Jesus into the house. But in the house, we have so many other things, so many other distractions that we're left unable to focus with no space for us to sit and be with and receive from Jesus. Though I'll tell you, some do it. Some swim upstream. Some carve out and learn the rhythm of living life with Jesus. And when they do, they can be subject to criticism, to jealousy. I mean, we see it in the story here. At verse 40, Martha felt that. It says that she went to Jesus and she said to him, "Lord, Lord, do you not care that Mary has left me to serve? I'm doing this alone now. Tell her to help me." So you see, Martha is jealous. "Must be nice, Mary. Must be nice just sitting in there with Jesus while I do all the work." And we can feel this way too, right? I mean, really. "Must be nice for you to spend time with Jesus. Wish I could slow down with you, but I'm too busy. You know, some of us have responsibilities, you know." When in reality, there's time. There's space. We just haven't made it. As if spending time with God was a luxury. Brothers and sisters, that's a product of the culture that we live in that says that you're lazy if you don't fill all the spaces. And we are called to go against that pattern. Romans 12 tells us to renew our minds, to live a different kind of pattern. So what does Mary do with her perceived, I should say Martha, what does Martha do with her perceived injustice, with the fact that her sister Mary has abandoned her? She takes it to Jesus, right? She'll find understanding there, right? He's Jesus. So Martha calls out her sister. She calls her out and then attempts really to manipulate Jesus. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me? Tell her to help me." You know, though Martha addresses Jesus as Lord, really what Martha wants is for Jesus to do her plan rather than to learn his plan. But I'll tell you what, I love the fact that Martha feels the freedom to come and to express that to Jesus. Even in error, Jesus is gentle with her and welcoming. This is just a great example of how he loves people, and especially women in this passage. But Martha did not want to make that choice to give up the activity. Think about this. She instead wanted to take Mary away from the thing that mattered most, being with Jesus and receiving from him. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Martha wanted Mary to engage in the same type of distracted activity that she was engaged in. And I'll say it again. We, as the followers of Christ, man, we are capable of pulling others away from Jesus to just be engaged in activity. The body of Christ, the church, can ignore the most important things and contribute to the endless cycle of activity and programming that happens. Pete Scazzaro wrote in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is a book we've been talking a lot about around here. He writes about the messages he received after he first became a Christian. And this is what he writes. He says, the messages were clear. Doing lots of work for God is a sure sign of a growing spirituality. It's all up to you. You'll never finish while you're alive on here on earth. You're responsible to share Christ around you at all times with all people, or they're going to go to hell. Things will fall apart if you don't persevere and hold it together. And Scazzaro goes on to say, are all these things wrong? No. But work for God that is not nourished by a deep interior life with God will eventually be contaminated by things such as ego, power, needing approval of and from others, and buying into the wrong ideas of success and the mistaken belief that we can't fail. When we work for God because of these things, our experience of the gospel often falls off center. We become human doings instead of human beings. Our sense of worth and validation gradually shift from God's unconditional love for us in Christ to our works and to our performance. The joy of Christ gradually disappears. Our activity for God can only properly flow from a life with God. Let me read that last sentence again. Our activity for God can only properly flow from a life with God. Those are Pete Scazzaro's words. Now Jesus, as he does so well, he points Martha in the right direction. Look at verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. When you look at the Greek for that expression, the one thing, it refers to the small thing. In other words, Mary, you're anxious about all these things, many things, but there's one small thing that matters. It's one small thing of all of it that's needed. And Mary has chosen that one small part, that needed thing. And I'm not going to take that away from her to join you. Now, if you're a Martha, you may be thinking, yeah, great. But someone's got to buy the groceries, right? Someone's got to make the meal. And the irony in this story is that Martha is doing for Jesus, the one who fed 5,000 with a couple loaves and a couple fishes. I think if he thinks it's okay to take a break, it probably is. And he might even provide dinner too. Being in the presence of Jesus and receiving from him is so vital to our life with God. Life flows from God. Jesus said it in John 15 when he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, unless you live in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:4, no one serving as a soldier, presumably of Jesus, gets entangled in civilian affairs, things of the world. but rather he tries to please his commanding officer. Mary had it right. She untangled herself to be with Jesus. And she does it again in John 12, if you want to take a look at that this week, when she takes expensive perfume and she wipes it on Jesus' feet in an act of worship. In fact, Judas actually scolds her and says the money could have been used for activity to help the poor. But once again, Mary knows what is most important. Life flows from being with God and then flows out. Now, we could talk more about the root of Martha's busyness, which Jesus really exposes as worry, right? Because worry leads to activity, and activity is a way to control the worry. It's a vicious cycle. Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. This pandemic has given us the opportunity, I think, to refocus. What if we embraced the opportunity? What if we embraced the opportunity? Many of us are detoxing now from a life of excessive activity and just constant filling of our spaces. And some of us are struggling. Some of us don't know what to do with the space, right? Because we were living our lives and our relationship with Jesus out of just activity. Our lives were so full that we didn't even know how to be with Jesus. Yet Jesus came to give us life and life to the fullest. Some of us have just, in this time, we've just turned to other things to fill space. We've traded one worry for another, and we're just dealing with the worry by filling it with TV, movies, excessive sleep, eating, drinking, whatever it is. Because some of us, like Martha, don't know how to slow down and to be with Jesus and receive from him. Jesus wants us to slow down and to be with him. We started this series as a reminder that there are things that we need to hear around here. We may not even know that we need to hear them, but we do. And we should want our church continually challenging us and encouraging us to slow down and be with Jesus. You should come up to me and want to say to me, Dan, we haven't talked about that in a while. We need to talk about slowing down and being with Jesus. And I will say yes, yes, and yes, because life flows from there. You need a church that encourages you to slow down to be with Jesus. You need a church that does not pressure you into endless programs, into activity that keeps you from being with Jesus. You need a church that challenges you to prioritize correctly. I believe in simple church. We will not buy into the world system. We're going to keep it simple as the Bible tells us to. We see very simple prescriptions in the Bible. Love God, love others, get together, one another, worship, grow, share your faith. Very simple. Now, things like concerts, socials, men's groups, women's groups, kids' events, youth group, dramatic performances, Sunday school, buildings, food pantry drives, courses, programs, retreats, all these are good things. I mean, come on, the food pantry, there's nothing more essential than food, right? And activity is not evil. Remember, this is in the context, this accounts in the context of a lot of activity and mission. But our interior life is more important. We can't do what Jesus calls us to do. We can't hear and receive from him unless we log real time with him first. We have to do it his way. And Jesus redirects Martha, even though she's doing for him. So we as a body, we're going to swim upstream. And I believe out of that time with God, we're going to do better. We're going to be better lovers of God and people. I'll tell you, this absolutely goes against my nature. I think I've lived most of my life with an activity first, fill the space kind of mindset. I'm a recovering addict that way. I filled spaces. I filled spaces in terms of leading here as well. I'm still learning how to sit down, how to receive from Jesus. How do you do that? You may be wondering that, really, come on. I have no idea. I try to do that. I can't do it. I just don't understand what that means. You know, there are a bunch of people around here engaged right now in a course. It's called Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. And it's one of the activities that we allowed through the gate. And because its attention is on our interior life with God. And the people going through that course are learning about a couple principles of how to slow down and how to receive from Jesus. One of those is called the daily office. That's just another way of saying learning to slow down daily to experience God by stopping, by centering, by being still, and by listening through Scripture. Be still and know that I'm God. That's what God asked us to do. Now, Jesus modeled this. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he got away from ministry. Here's two of just, I found 14 verses just looking very quickly. Here's two of them about just how he modeled that for us. Mark 1:35, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed, went out to a desolate place where he prayed. Luke 5:15-16, but now, even more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. I want you to take a listen to Dan Nellis from our roundtable discussion talk about the interesting thing about Jesus. Listen to this.
One of my favorite parts of, you know, like just learning about Jesus was watching him interact with his disciples, and he'd be kind of hanging out with them, and all of a sudden, you know, they're like doing ministry and he's healing people, and then they're like, okay, what's next? And then Jesus just goes off on his own, you know, just because there was an intimacy, but he needed to kind of take a break from the work. Certainly he could have kept doing it. I mean, he could have kept doing it forever, doing the work, but he needed a recharge. He needed a connection, you know. That he just had like an inner peace, but he also had like a space that he needed to occupy where he just stopped, you know. I love the fact that, you know, the picture of the storm, you know, like the boats are rocking and there's Jesus. He's just fast asleep. Just, you know, there's this peace about him. There's that he was able to just kind of rest in the middle of all of the activity and the flurry and the storms and stuff like that. I just think that's such a great picture. I know that I sometimes use work or activity as a way to sort of shield myself from listening to what God might have to say to me. You know, I can just kind of fill that space so that I'm not kind of fostering a connection, heart connection with him. It's easy to do that. I can avoid some difficult conversations that need to happen with him, you know.
So we've got to slow down. We've got to be with the Father. Secondly, a second principle we see from Scripture, and it's called Sabbath. You know, when God's people came out of Egypt, out of slavery, God gave them commandments, 10 commandments, and one of them was a command to take a 24-hour period each week, one 24-hour period, one day, to stop, to rest, to delight in God, and to contemplate. And those who are going through the course that I mentioned earlier are going to rediscover what Sabbath means and how it is absolutely vital and important today. God himself rested on the seventh day, and he asks us to rest as well. We need to rediscover what the Sabbath means. Listen to some LCCers as they talk about the Sabbath.
Glad you said that, because that's one of the things I've learned about the spiritual disciplines, is that Sabbath is an act of worship. It's a spiritual act of worship, and it's the undoneness, and it's resting in the undoneness is what it really means. I always took that to mean like it is a law, you know, it's something to do, but it, again, out of my own righteousness and my own work. So it's like, so I will keep Sunday holy and I will do nothing. But I would work my tail off on Saturday to get the house clean, to get the laundry done, to get the groceries done, because so that I can rest. But really what it's saying is, why don't you just live your rhythm, live your life, live this rhythm. And then when I call you to rest, why don't you rest in the undoneness? And why don't you trust that I am enough in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the undoneness, that I am good and that I am God and that I've got this. And it's okay for things to be undone. And that's hard. because I like pretty and I like perfect and I like things to be all wrapped up. So yeah.
But why is it, and this is all good, but why is it even important that we do it? Like, why? Why stop? If I can work for 5 days and get so much done, why not work on a sixth? And if I can work on six and get that much done, why not do a seven? Yeah.
Like, does it give you any time to reflect?
Okay. Right. Good.
So that for me, that's something that I feel like if I never looked back at what was going on, and kind of took a broader perspective, I think I would kind of not learn where I might be needing to adjust my activity, or you know, my growth in a particular direction. So reflection is why I feel like it's.
So he, are you saying so he could speak to you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know. It's the teacher thing.
I think of the Ten Commandments and I think we're really good at saying, hey, like, don't murder anybody, don't steal. But the longest one is like about Sabbath. And I, as I reflected on that, I went, what am I really saying when I don't know how to stop? And that's saying, I'm in control. The world needs me. And if I don't get it done, it's not going to get done. And it lacks saying, you know what? God's a little bigger than you. I think you can take a little day off. If God can take a day off, surely you can take a day off. And so it's been convicting to me to say, too, like, how much do I feel like, oh, like, the world needs me? And I go, frankly, it's very humbling to say, no, really. Like you said, you could leave that undone and the world will go on. And yeah. I go, really? Like,
and yeah. It's an act of worship. It's an act of saying, you are God and I am not.
Yeah.
And that's.
And it allows me to say, like, watch him work.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And two, to say, like you said, it's worship. I go, I've kind of learned too, Sabbath is not about not doing anything. It's about enjoying his presence and the ways he's wired us. And Sabbath can be really fun or reflective or, you know, whatever it may be, reading a book or eventually watching some football on a Sunday or whatever that will be.
That's right.
The daily office, being with God daily, the Sabbath, two simple biblical ways to slow down and to be with Jesus and receive from him. On a side note, we just want to tell you that this course that many are engaged in around here, we're going to offer it again in the future. I would love for everybody in our body to go through this. So important to develop our interior life with God. Before we head back to whatever life is going to be, we've got to embrace this opportunity before us, the chance to recalibrate, to keep some of the balls off the metal track. Will you return to a pace of frenzied activity and a constant filling of space? Or will you slow down and develop a rhythm, a lifestyle of daily walking with Jesus and being with him and receiving with him? Slowing down, it transforms us. It makes us better lovers of God, better lovers of people. And it allows us to receive and to hear from him and to do his will. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this time today. And we want to start where you want us to start, which is with you. God, would you help us to create rhythms in our life, to make spaces to walk with you daily, to have a relationship with you, to be with you, to receive from you, to listen to you in silence and through your word, to be led by the Holy Spirit to do your will. God, help us to set new patterns this way. And we know that when we are connected to you, we can accomplish so much, for apart from you, we can do nothing. We love you. We thank you for the chance to be with the eternal living God. Amen.